comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are going to put an amazing spotlight on the Southwest today. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And as with all of my shows, first things first, I'd like to thank the sponsor of our show today. It's LP&G Marketing. LP&G is a Tucson ad agency. It's of deep thinkers and gifted designers who excel at advertising, branding, media buying, web design, search engine marketing. They are all about good thinking, and if you would like to take a step inside their world for a closer look, no matter where you are in the country, I invite and encourage you to visit them at lpginc.com, and you will see that everything that I said indeed is the truth. So thanks to them for all of the good work they do and for all of their many contributions to this community through their connections with nonprofits. They do a lot of work to give back. So today we're asking the question, what is your potential? And it is truly a particularly special show for me, and I have to share a little bit about that. In studio with me for the next 30 minutes is not only a wonderful human being and friend, but a person who had a major influence on my starting Mrs. Green's world over 10 years ago, which I cannot even believe every time I say that. And it's a wonderful story, but one for another day. Please join me in welcoming the one and only Jenny Grable. Jenny is the Director of Community Impact at Social Venture Partners Tucson and has been serving this community for over 20 years. As a morning show radio host, she amplified the voices of the community through thoughtful programming, very intentional programming. Now she serves in the social sector, supporting capacity building and best practices in both the nonprofit and philanthropic communities, which I think is an interesting spin, Jenny, and we're going to talk about that. And she's great at it. Jenny, after 10 years, I get to put the spotlight on you and how sweet it is.
Good morning. How are you?
It's so great to have you here.
It is wonderful.
So many memories when I was preparing for the show of me being on Green Tuesdays at The Mountain and Green October for many years, which is where I started watching you and saying, could I do that? Could I do that?
And look at you now.
Look at me now. I'm Mrs. Green.
And some more. It's so exciting.
It certainly helped clarify my life's work in this third of my life, which is very exciting. You know I love being Mrs. Green. So let's talk about you, because it's a wonderful journey from successful morning radio host, everybody knew who Jenny Grable was, to now the social service arena. And in retrospect, it was a perfect segue. This is about what is your potential and how have you taken what you've done and learned along the way. So how have you done that to be in the job you're in now?
So, you know, as a morning show radio host, where my passion really lied was in sharing the beautiful things that were happening in our community. So we focused on environmental issues with our Green Tuesdays segments, health and wellness. We really amplified that green impact, the environmental impact, you know, with some fun, you know, radio style things, giving away
when hardly anybody was doing
it. Giving away green cards, but also really spotlighting all, and what I learned through, you know, wanting to spotlight the good in our community was that so much of the good happens in the nonprofit sector. So in this social sector with organizations who their sole purpose and their sole focus is to serve those in the community that need something, that have a need, that have whether it's working with, you know, underserved youth or underserved adults or, helping to provide education with arts and environment, you know, all of these different things were happening in the social sector. So my connection was just getting to learn from all of the nonprofits that would come on our show and just share their stories and share what they were doing in the community. And then, you know, I also have a history. So my parents both worked in the social sector. sector. They were both worked at nonprofits. My father specifically supporting the elderly for years and years and years. My mom worked in adoption. So I was always, it was always a part of my history. And what was so nice with radio is it gave me an opportunity to really amplify that work in a really special way. So it was a real natural progression. When my radio days ended, I transitioned into a nonprofit executive director role and supported, it was called the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding.
Yes.
So that was founded just after our then Congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords, was shot, and there was a whole lot of impact in the community. One of the families, Ron Barber and his family, started a family foundation, and I became the steward of the money that became that everyone invested in that organization. So I was the steward of how, what programs we developed, how we gave back to the community in a meaningful way as a result of what had happened. So we focused on mental health and the stigma reduction around mental health, because the young man who shot Gabby Giffords had had
severe
mental illness.
Right.
And so eliminating the stigma around mental illness was a really big, you know, was really important for us to do, and really try and provide some education around that. And we also did work around anti-bullying. So we also learned that, you know, the young man had also been bullied as a youth, and what were the correlations there, which happens a lot with little ones with mental illness, because you're just not doing things just the way everybody else is doing things, and you tend to be more more susceptible to, you know, reacting. That happens a lot. Little ones that get bullied, it's because they react when someone wants to poke at you, and you're like, ouch, 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 ah, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So we did work in those arenas, and we did a lot of funding, so we funded some projects, and that's how I kind of was then made the transition into Social Venture Partners, which is essentially a funding organization. So we are a nonprofit, but we work, we have our own revenue stream, which is through our partnership. We have engaged philanthropists, individuals who pay to be members of our organization, and we do some really strategic projects around capacity building in our nonprofit sector. And what the term capacity building means is to support and to enhance the systems and structures that are the back end of a nonprofit. So it's kind of the business side of what you need to have in place in order to serve the individuals that you're working to serve. So we talk about capacity building as, you know, enhanced governance, helping with financial systems, you know, just getting systems and things in place, stuff around impact data, because funders really like to know, you know, okay, how many people are you serving? What sort of changes are happening?
Give me the numbers.
Yeah, give me the numbers. And also, you know, what's the change that's occurring in the folks that you are serving? So how do you collect that information? Tons of stuff. You know, human resources can be an area that we can provide support in, legal counsel. So our partners want to be involved in a really meaningful way, not just with their dollars, which tends, you know, when we think philanthropy, we usually think, you know, you write a check. Our partners want to engage in meaningful project work so that they can help the long-term sustainability of the nonprofits that are doing the work that is so valuable. And it's just really thrilling to be that conduit and to really support our philanthropists, our partners, in educating themselves on best practices in philanthropy.
That's what I was going to ask you. It's not just to work with nonprofits. It cuts both ways at SVP, which I love. You work with philanthropists. So what kind of things do you do with them?
So we do educational pieces around, you know, what issues are, what's going on with specific issues in our community. We do fun and engaging activities to learn about, again, you know, what's the landscape of Southern Arizona look like. And we also have resources. So we're part of a global network. There are social venture partners.
I love that. It's a global network of local partners. And I thought, well, there you go.
And it's
Jenny's going to tell us about what that means.
So that means that there are SVPs all over the world, in fact. So Social Venture Partners was founded in Seattle, but there are SVPs in India and China and Canada and all over the world. And they have similar models, but it's a everybody is working in their community. So working on the issues
really
that are facing
globally and act locally model.
So India has this beautiful goal of, you know, 1 million jobs in 10 years. So they're working on, you know, workforce development in India, which is critical, right, in that world. here in Tucson, we're focused on life skills, building life skills. We also run an additional program called Fast Pitch, which I'm sure we'll get into talking about.
We have to, because it's one of my favorite events to go to
it's
all
really,
year.
It's really fun. And when we get to Fast Pitch, what Fast Pitch does is it works on that capacity, building the capacity of an organization to share their story, to tell really succinctly and really thoughtfully
and powerfully
and also really clear. So oftentimes, and in any business, you get so down into the depths of what you do that you forget how to say what you do.
Right. You're in the weeds getting choked by them.
Yeah. And you know so well what you do that you sometimes use acronyms or you share things in a way that makes perfect sense to you. But somebody that's never heard about what you're doing, they don't have...
It's like deer in the headlights.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's what Fast Pitch is all about, getting really clear and ideally connecting donors to those organizations, donors that care about whatever cause it is or whatever, members that organization is serving. Fast Pitch is really intended to align donors with the cause. But yeah, so the network of SVP is incredible because we get so much great information about what's the cutting edge of philanthropy?
Right. What works? What works? What's hot? What's not?
Yeah. I mean, and why is it?
Cross-pollination.
What's this overhead myth? And what does that really mean? And why do we need to fund nonprofits' administrative costs? Because that's typically the people that are doing the stuff,
Having been with Angel Charity, that drives me nuts. It costs money to be in business.
Yeah.
And
you have to invest in yourself.
Yes, and you have to pay people.
Yeah.
You have to pay people. So go ahead.
Well, and just so often there's this myth in philanthropy that, I have $1,000 to give. I want my $1,000 to go towards books for little kiddos. So I'm going to restrict those fundings because I want those books. I want those books to be given to little kids. What you need to think about and what we can educate philanthropists about is that, the way that the right child gets the right book is from a human being who's a program officer who's making those connections.
Right.
The way that you do outreach to learn what families that really need these resources are through human beings making human connections. So, administrative costs or employee costs or salaries, that is what makes a program special are the human beings that are making the connections, that are doing the work. So those are some educational pieces that we can do. And there's just a lot happening in the network on a bigger scope, impact investing and all of these flashy, shiny kind of philanthropy things that we can get resources about, what are best practices, what's working, what's not. That's one of the things that I really, really value about SVP. We are driven to learn. So sometimes when you're learning, you trip up, you make a mistake. And so what can you learn from that? How do we redirect? How do we, empower ourselves to move forward? Also, what I love is we're also focused on celebration. When you've reached a goal, let's, celebrate
important.
Ourselves.
Yes.
Because that way you can recharge and get ready to tackle your next goal. So it's really incredible to be a part of the network, but it truly is a local focus. So everything that we do here in Tucson is really focused around Southern Arizona, Greater Pima County. The needs of our community and the nonprofits that are in our community. And we do two programs. We have a capacity building grant that we do that we pick one nonprofit and we work with them for 3 years on specialized projects.
So smart.
We provide them with unrestricted funding, which we were just talking about.
That means
we trust you as an organization to invest wherever you need to invest. So that money is for you to figure out exactly where it goes. And that's our 3-year capacity building grant. So at any time we have 3 nonprofits that we're doing deep dives with. Our partners do really specific strategic projects that the nonprofit identifies as their need. And then we have launched Fast Pitch and we just kicked off our 3rd Fast Pitch season.
It's just one of those things that we have to talk about. But before we go into that, when you're talking about 3-year investment, how wonderful is that? Because not much happens in a year when you're trying to really build capacity.
Yeah.
And who helps with the capacity building? I mean, you're director of community impact. Does the board get involved? Do you have staff that are designated just to do that?
So we have just about 100 partners. And the way that that...
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So the way that the process works, and our partners, our board of directors is made up of a select group of partners who are kind of the strategic leaders of the organization. The way that that process works, we have a pretty vigorous investment process. We call it our investment process, where we select the nonprofit that we're going to do the 3 years of work with. And then they do an organizational capacity assessment. And so we have a tool that we use that was provided through the network that was developed through, big deal entities,
right.
you know, which is nice.
Really the big think tanks to make something valuable.
Yeah. So then the nonprofit will have a number of their staff and their board members complete this assessment. And then we go through it. We internally, SVP does a summary of the assessment. And then we go back to the nonprofit with our summary. And then we identify, okay, that's right on. Actually, we really feel like we need to do some additional work in this area. And we make a plan. We typically sequence, because a lot of times it's important, you know, you really want to educate your board about what their roles and responsibilities are prior to a strategic planning session, because you want them to know where they should really be thinking and where they should really be focused. Same thing if you're going to work on, you know, data management. You just want to sequence
There's
things
all
appropriately.
All those pieces. Yes.
Yeah. So we work directly with the nonprofit staff, and our partners then have expertise in different areas or really translatable skills. You know, sometimes somebody will be like, "No, I can't do that," and it's like, "Actually, you can. You worked at a company, and you were so thoughtful and really well organized. And you know what? This organization could really just use some." File systems management, and that would help them immensely. Because also so often in our nonprofit sector, there aren't a ton of people working in an organization. They're very slim staff.
Right. It's always overworked, underpaid, not enough time
very
in
simple.
The day.
Very, yes. Very, very, very true as far, you know, somebody that's fundraising is also doing all the marketing and communications.
Right.
And so
right.
How can we break these things up and create smaller projects that all feed into a whole, and we develop teams of partners that are strategic and working with that organization to help build their capacity and do some systems change in some organizations, which is really, it's incredible to be a part of.
You know, it's wonderful that you're doing it for the nonprofit sector, and so many businesses could use that no matter what. I mean, it's really important because, like you said, you're so busy being in the weeds and things grow organically, and then to stop and really take a look at what's working, what's not, what a gift.
Well, and so often within our nonprofit sector, organizations are started, and we should also note, you know, a nonprofit is still a business. It's
right.
Just a business that invests back in itself.
It can't be nonprofit.
Yeah, right? So, you know, what is unique in the nonprofit sector is that a lot of organizations are founded through a mission, through heart, through someone who cares deeply and passionately about something that they maybe see a gap in. There's a gap in our community around a service area.
Right, right.
So supporting that individual in helping with business management is just it serves your clients. So you're able to serve the individuals that you are there to serve
right.
So much more effectively if you have business systems in place.
Yes, the whole infrastructure really needs to be there. And Fast Pitch is, there's a bunch of us that talk about it because you and I spoke a little bit before we went on air. And people by now were tired, not exhausted. I don't want to say anything negative, but it's event season.
Yeah.
So you go 6-7 days a week, because I had two events last weekend and I have two events this weekend.
Yes.
Because it's the desert and we cram it in between the end of August.
Right,
and
it
then
has to be cool enough for
can't
everyone
be in the
to
summer.
Be able to breathe.
So
yeah.
There are a myriad of nonprofits. But Fast Pitch, let's be honest. Let's be really honest. It's a freaking phenomenon.
Thank
and I did
you.
Say freaking on the air because
That's
it
so
came
kind.
Out yesterday, and my friend Cindy sent me a message right away, said, are we going together? And we have another friend, Megan, that we go to. And it sold out way before the event in a town that is saturated with events. And people are like, did you get your ticket? Did
that's
you get
so
your ticket?
Awesome.
I had friends looking for tickets last year. I'm like,
so
yeah,
really
I will buy mine by the end of day today, because if not, but that's the truth. I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It is sold out. So tell us about the genesis of Fast Pitch and how it works, because
sure.
It is amazing and fun. It's like Shark Tank for nonprofits.
Yeah, so
that's what I tell
you. Know,
people.
I really am so grateful that Fast Pitch was brought to Tucson because it's why I was hired through the organization. So I was kind of our second employee at SVP.
So it was brought
Tucson.
To Tucson from another SVP?
Yes. So Fast Pitch was started in Los Angeles by LA's SVP. And they were in there are now 13
that makes sense. It's so Hollywood.
Different affiliates. Right.
It is.
Right. So now there are a number of different affiliates that have brought it locally to their affiliate, but it was for us, for SVP Tucson, and there's a partner in particular, John Smith, who had seen Fast Pitch and other affiliates and thought, we can do this. We should bring this to Tucson. It's a way for us to have some breath to the work that we do. So we do these deep dives with one organization, but how can we touch more organizations? And for a lot of reasons, how do we get to know what's really happening in our nonprofit sector? How do we affect more nonprofits? How do we engage our partners in something really exciting and really meaningful? And so a decision was made through lots of trials and lots of presentations, and the partnership agreed, the board at the time agreed to bring Fast Pitch to Tucson. So then comes me being hired as the director of community impact. And I was so lucky because SVP in Phoenix, they call themselves SVP Arizona because they were actually the second SVP started across the network. But we were able to shadow their process. And so the first year we shadowed Phoenix and we modeled what we did very closely to theirs. And I have showbiz, we talked about that earlier. You know, I had worked in radio and been really involved in concerts and music is my passion.
Yes.
So I felt like I was able to really merge those two worlds and create an event that was all about the show.
And I'm asking you the question I did about how great it is without even knowing how much a role you had.
Yeah.
So that's
well, thank you.
Gina.
That's really nice.
You know, when you used to do this?
Yes, I do.
I had to have a bell because of you.
It is too fun, right? Can I ring it?
Yeah, ring a bell. Okay. It's like it's rare, but so man, fun. That's from Jenny Grable.
So Fast Pitch, it was my baby in a lot of ways. It was something that I was able to, again, I was able to shadow, which was so fortunate because then you get...
Right, right.
Because in itself, it has systems and structures. So what it is we select 15 nonprofits. We have an application process. This year, I think we had just under 50 nonprofits apply. And then of those nonprofits that apply, we select 15 and we put them through a intensive 2-month-long communication
rigorous,
skills building
intensive,
program.
Rigorous. Right.
You mentioned Cindy and she's one of our mentors.
Yes.
In fact, this year she's a super mentor. So she kind of swoops in and supports whatever organization
perfect role
might
for her.
Need help. Yeah, because she's so amazing. So we work with these nonprofits. We actually pull from the community. We have two mentors that are paired with each of the nonprofit leaders, and we support them in building a 3-minute pitch about their organization. We had a workshop actually for this year's event that will happen in November. We did our pitch workshop just yesterday, and we just focus on, what makes a successful pitch. You know, your storytelling. So you've got to touch somebody's heart. You have to provide some impact data because there are people in the audience that think with their heads.
Yes. How many lives did you touch?
Right. So you've got to incorporate a lot of different things when you're sharing your organizational story, and you have to simplify because again, as in any industry, as with any job that you have, you get so deep into the work that you're doing that you sometimes you just can't describe it simply to people. You have to really stay. It's like teaching someone calculus.
Elevator speech is tough.
It's tough. And it's so tough.
It's really tough. I always want at least 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, even describing Mrs. Green's world. So you work with them for several months.
We
it's just
about
starting
8 weeks.
Eight so weeks, we,
yeah.
So 2 months.
So we just launched on September 15th. We had a meet and greet event, and then the event itself is on November 9th. So it's a really condensed time frame. It's required to you got to memorize. You got to have all these different pieces of your puzzle. We do. It's very structured. We have 3 structured practice sessions where we time, we film. You can watch yourself. We have a panel of feedback mentors who share on the spot feedback. And these are all wonderful things that we got to pull from the SVP network. And then we got to refine it and make it Tucson.
Yeah. Uniquely Tucson, which we all love.
And one of the things I think about the event that is so thrilling for the Tucson community is for the past few years and this year again, we bring a keynote speaker that is a national speaker.
I was going to bring that up.
To the event. And so that adds just this extra wow factor as far as...
Well, last year was Ron Guerin.
Yeah.
And he sat in that very chair soon after.
I stalked
him after the show and I ran up to him and I said, hi, you know, the bobblehead. Here's Mrs. Green and we have a never read no podcast and blah, blah, would you be on it? Very calmly said yes.
Yeah, he's a doll.
Meant it.
Yeah.
And has stayed connected with us.
So he's an
amazing
astronaut.
Human being.
He's a social entrepreneur. He is someone who has actually seen our Earth from a global perspective and understands that we all live on this floating ball
and that we're
of
really
gas,
little
and we're teeny tiny. And I think for a lot of people that was really important. He was our keynote at the event last year and it was right after the election had happened, and however you felt about that, he gave that perspective of, you know, okay, we're all on this planet. Keep moving forward. You know,
keep your eye on the right ball.
Yeah.
He was so inspirational. And a lot of us, quite frankly, were raw.
Yeah.
And so I'm being honest. I mean, people know me.
Of course.
And he was healing.
Mm-hmm.
And what he talked about on the show, I mean, he really is an amazing human being. Who did you have the first year? I don't remember.
So the first year, his name is Craig Kielburger.
Oh, yes.
And he's a young
philanthropist.
He was
great, too.
Yeah, he's Canadian. And he and his brother started this Free the Children nonprofit. And they really work on connecting young children to philanthropy, and they do these big exciting We Day events. Sometimes you'll catch them on television where it's all about service, and if you serve your community then you get invited to these big We Day events where big superstars are on stage, and it's just talking about, you know, giving to the world, your community to the world. And they support, you know, child labor issues and all sorts of fantastic things. And he, you know, he's met Mother Teresa, he's been on Oprah, but he was just had this energy that was palpable and so exciting and was just the perfect way for us to launch the event in Tucson. I just remember that.
And I didn't get a chance
chills.
To stalk him. I have to note to self.
I'm happy to hook you up with his people.
Note to self, I think that's really important. And so there's the guest speaker, the keynote. Extraordinary. Then the nonprofits do their pitch. There's a panel of judges. Mm-hmm. I want to explain people how cool it is. There's a panel of judges from community leaders. Julia Strange is usually there. Mm-hmm. Joaquin from the U of A. TMC mm-hmm. is represented.
Mm-hmm.
I always sit there thinking, someday I'm going to be a judge.
Oh, really?
I can't wait. Someday I'm going to be a judge.
Well, TMC is our presenting sponsor. This year, Mimi Kumler is going to join us
as
a judge.
I love Mimi.
I know. She's the best.
Yeah, we were thinking we might go with Gemma and Mimi also to Fast Pitch.
There you
she'll
go.
Be
well,
a VIP
she'll,
there.
Well, she'll be there. She'll
be
sitting
there.
Right up front.
We all love Mimi.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can vote. We get these
right.
little things.
Choice.
Because
T-E-P
that's
Power
so fun. TEP,
Award.
Another sponsor of community events. And this is what I love. So you can speak to that. We don't have a lot of time left because time flies when you're having fun and have great guests. But you don't just get the big shot nonprofits that are already successful, that everybody knows of, and like, oh, you know, here's blah, 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 which everybody knows, loves, they're great, they're successful, they're doing good work. I pride myself coming from the nonprofit and social service sector of knowing everyone. Not at Fast Pitch, there are one and two men or three women shops where something happened in their lives, mm-hmm. and now they have a very worthy cause, and everybody can make money for their nonprofit that night.
Absolutely. So we do
that.
Big awards. We do big prize awards. We do, you know, the audience text to vote award.
There's big checks.
It's a really fun, and it's really all about the community. So
yes.
It's about awareness. It's about connecting people to the causes that they care about, and learning about what's happening in our community. And even if we do have some of those larger nonprofits represented, they're usually sharing a program that you've never heard about.
Like Girl Scouts.
Yes. Which is also
Go
really
Debbie.
Thrilling, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
Girl Scouts. workouts. So it's not either or.
I love how excited you are. It makes me so excited too.
Well, it cracked me up that we were doing this recording today, and I just got the notice yesterday, and the text started going back and forth. I was up in Phoenix, and Cindy sent it to me right away because it's
time to get
it's your girls'
tickets.
Night out, man. It's like, yay! And there's wine involved, so it's really
there is
really
wine
great.
Involved, that's
yes,
for sure.
And the way that you can find out more about all of this is socialventurepartners.org/Tucson. Make sure you put that in. And for Facebook, it's SVP Tucson. And for Twitter, SVP Tucson. And it's so funny. I don't ever want to be doing my gizmo when I'm watching that, but it's a Twitter war. I mean, it's like on fire. Everybody's tweeting about what they're seeing,
yes,
and their
lovely.
Social media person are on
so
it.
So nice to hear.
So everybody, what an amazing time with Jenny Grable. It's so special for me in our 10th year.
I can't
year.
Believe that was 30
and
minutes.
I could
talk to you for
and
hours.
You saying that makes me really happy because you're a pro and you have the background. Everybody, October 10th, Jim Beiser and Kathy Jacobs, Navigating Science to Action in a Post-Fact World. Friends of mine from the U of A, prominent scientists. October 12th, two child life specialists from TMC talking about our children, our future, TMC Cares. Make it a great green week, everybody. And thank you for being a part of my world.